I'm going to call this meeting of the House Committee on Early Childhood and Family Supports to order for February 27th, 2018. And I'll open an informational meeting first on the Early Learning Division. I call it Future rather than just Plans. But Miriam, if you'd like to come forward, we'd love to talk with you about, you've been here, how long have you been here now?
7 months.
Okay.
Yay.
Already.
7 months. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Lively, members of the committee. Get myself situated here. For the record, my name is Miriam Galeron, and I'm the Early Learning System Director. I should say the for the record part, right? Because that's okay.
Yes, thank you.
Got it. All right. So yes, I'm here 7 months, wrapping up my first legislative session. And I just want to say how inspired and motivated I continue to be by all of the support for young children and families in our state in the legislature. So I wanted to begin by thanking you, in particular in this committee, for your leadership on early childhood issues. We have appreciated your support for the safety and well-being of children, your attention to our to the enforcement bill, 4065, which we are so excited about, is now moving to join full ways and means. As a policy committee, I think your work in a number of other areas has been invaluable. We've heard, and thank you for the support on the budget requests, specifically for staff that would increase our capacity to monitor and support child care programs across the state. I wanted to provide you with an update on that. We have signed an intergovernmental agreement with the Department of Human Services and have formed a working group where we'll be sort of building out the concept of doing tandem investigations with child welfare in child care and licensed child care facilities around allegations of abuse and neglect. As well, the budget request also requested resources to help our regulated subsidy providers meet new lead testing requirements. I wanted to let you know that last week the council adopted rules to require licensed child care and regulated subsidy providers to conduct lead testing and mitigation. The rules require action to correct water sources that test it at or above 15 parts per billion in a standing water test. We are really confident that this is a really important first step that we're taking as a state to understand the extent of the challenges in child care facilities with respect to lead in water sources, and we'll continue to work very closely with our colleagues at the Oregon Health Authority as data comes in and we understand what these test results show us, and also what kind of support our child care providers will need in order to mitigate and implement corrective action. I also wanted to thank this committee in particular for the other your work on two other important bills for our early childhood early learning system, the special education eligibility and the alignment with 4067. I think is going to be critical as we continue to do more work long term to be able to ensure more children are served in inclusive child care and preschool settings, as well as to support transitions. And then finally, the work to elevate HB 4066 and the Equity Fund is also important. As you'll see, I'll talk in a moment. This is a an area and a priority that the Early Learning Council has also identified, and we look forward to being able to see that included in the future Early Learning Council strategic plan. So, can I move that? There we go. Okay. So I think this is a graphic you have seen before and that I have shared with you, a framework in our field to really talk about a comprehensive early learning system, and one in which we think about as the way in which we can achieve the three goals that Oregon has identified for its early learning system: healthy, stable, and attached families, children ready for kindergarten, and coordinated, aligned, family-centered systems. As I've spoken to you before, I've shared that I think that Oregon is really in an incredible place of opportunity in its system-building work because we have really for many years now been really focused on this area and building a strong system through the federal Race to the Top Early Learning Challenge Grant, which ended in 2017. We were able to, I think, accomplish building a lot of important infrastructure, seeding innovative programs that supported the workforce, investments that the legislature has made to expand access to preschool, standing up an early learning hub system, even really creating an early learning division where you consolidated a number of these important programs to be able to create a greater focus, I think, on young children and families and better meeting their needs. So I think we build on an incredible amount of momentum as the Race to the Top Early Learning Challenge grant has come to an end. And I think with new leadership at the division and at the council with our Early Learning Council and Chair Miller, the council has really identified, I think, an important moment in the state where we can build on this work and identify the need to really create a cross-sector plan that will help us understand across a five-year time frame what are the next sort of, how do we set our sights on the next sort of strategic goals, activities, and strategies that will continue to build on the momentum that we've seen in the last several years. So I think this graphic is really important to help us think about that work because, as we know, it's not going to be, as the council thinks about this, one particular sector or agency or initiative that will make progress in the short term on these very big goals that we have in our state, but rather the contributions, interest, opportunities, resources, and programs of all of these different sectors and a greater emphasis on coordination and alignment so that they work better together in communities to meet the comprehensive needs of children and families. So that is sort of our task with the Early Learning Council strategic plan in this next year. And the council has been very focused on being able to put this plan together in time to inform the 2019 session. So the idea would be that we have a plan that will guide our sort of cross-sector collaboration and work and further activities to strengthen our system towards achieving these goals, and that time horizon would be beginning in 2019. I also want to share with you that Governor Brown has begun to convene the agency directors and leaders in these different sectors, as well as housing and the chief education office, and to begin to support both the creation and the development of this plan. So we have the opportunity to give feedback to the Early Learning Council around the priorities and goals that will be set in this plan, I think, as well as through the governor's ongoing leadership in this area to ensure that that these agencies and sectors are working well together to implement this plan through more accountable state action. So I wanted to share a little bit about where the strategic planning process itself, and I think we could, through discussion, I think it would be great to talk about ways in which we might include updates to the committee throughout the strategic planning process. But as you can see, we've set sort of an ambitious target, again, of really wanting to have a plan by 2019 to, over the next 8 months, engage each stakeholders from each of these sectors, as well as agency leadership, to identify their priorities relative to young children and families. So what you see here in terms of the stakeholder engagement sessions is using the full council meetings beginning in March through early summer, where we're focusing each council meeting on an individual sector. And what will be happening in those engagement sessions is the different state agencies will be talking about their work and their priorities relative to young children and families. Hubs, advocates, philanthropic partners, families, providers will also have an opportunity during these engagement sessions to talk to the council about their ideas and interests and priorities, needs relative to that sector and the programs that they have. Outside of those council meetings as well, we're looking at leveraging the existing standing council, early learning council committees to look at that work underway and leverage that for the strategic plan, as well as we're building out a more robust community community engagement sessions that will be happening through the summer, where we and council members will be going out into community and hearing more directly from parents and providers and other community partners about their needs and interests and ideas for this council strategic plan. I also want to share that the council has already generated some priorities that they feel are critical, and a number of these are primarily focused on the early care and education specifically. So I've pulled that out. As you'll see on the slide, the council has talked about expanding our access and quality and support for quality preschool, supporting increasing the supports for infants and toddlers. This is sort of lovingly referred to as the baby promise, but really a framework and agenda to think about high quality infant and toddler child care, more supports for the workforce, home visiting, paid leave and parenting education and other family supports, very specifically focused on the 0-3 population. They have identified more supports for the early learning workforce and the child care workforce, and so this is a priority we'll be looking at. Again, child care safety, kindergarten transitions, the culturally specific services fund, which the committee had legislation around, also has emerged as a key priority, as well as ensuring that we have a strong early learning division and a hub system to be able to anchor the supports for all of these sort of programs and providers that we need to ensure quality. So I wanted to take a moment and also talk about sort of relative to these priorities, what are some of the challenges and where we see the current state of our early care and education sector. So although there has been a lot of important work underway, we have a lot more work to do. We know that we don't have the supply of childcare that we need across the state to support families and being able to go to work, as well as support children's learning and development. We lack a supply of licensed programs, and only a very small number of these programs are meeting our standards, our quality standards, as have been identified through the SPARC system. We also know that our early learning educators and our workforce, our providers, are key to quality, and we will not have a supply of quality programs without greater support for our workforce. About a third of our workforce has a high school diploma, and many of them do work really in isolation with low pay and low support. So even with the current professional development infrastructure and programs that we've built, we're still not touching all of the providers providing care in our state, nor providing them with enough of the support that they need to be able to provide quality care. We know that in terms of financing, there are some significant challenges with being able to assist providers in meeting higher quality standards and provide a higher quality of care, and that is largely around the availability, I think, of public funding used strategically to be able to support providers in meeting higher standards. Right now, the system is funded largely by what families can afford to pay. Of all the funding that goes into early care and education in the state of Oregon, nearly three-quarters of that funding comes from families. And federal funding, mostly through the Child Care Development Fund, makes up another 19%, and the state contributes 9%. So again, this is really an industry and a sector where I think providers are constantly working really at the margins of being able to stay in business. Families are struggling, we know, with how unaffordable the care is and paying a high cost for these services. And we know that when we have a market that exists in this way, that children who are in families who can't afford to pay for services and there isn't an adequate supply of publicly funded programs like preschool or childcare, a lot of children simply will sit out and not benefit from these kinds of programs. So we think about an important area that we need to tackle as we go forward in 2019 is thinking about what we can do from the public sector to really help support providers, provide higher quality care and build a supply, and also help families, particularly the families who are low income in our state or who have the least amount of access to be able to access that publicly funded supply. So one of the areas where we're beginning to engage stakeholders as we take those priorities for the council, and again, I'm focusing more specifically right now on the early care and education sector, is to begin to engage all of our stakeholders around a shared vision of the system of early care and education that we need to build in our state to really be able to meet those dual purposes of helping children of helping children be able to be in environments that support their development and learning and help families be able to go to work and support them in their economic well-being and self-sufficiency. And so really the vision and the principles that we're looking at are thinking about how do we focus very strategically on quality experiences, environments, and relationships in these early care and education settings to meet the needs of young children and families. I've pointed out a number of challenges and our need to do more, particularly relative to programs and services, but I think we also need to be focused on the workforce and then again the infrastructure in our state to support this quality vision. And I think that really necessitates thinking about the capacity that we have within the hub system and their role very specific to early care and education, as well as the state role and our capacity to support providers, to build a supply of quality care in the communities where we don't have that. So these principles, as you'll see here, you know, thinking about, for example, the state perspective, looking at data systems, looking at our monitoring and accountability systems, looking at how we work to align standards that are more associated with the kinds of experiences for children that impact their learning and development. These are some of the areas where we need to really look at what our current state capacity is. I think very similarly in hubs, we are talking to our hub leaders and using some kind of principles to get their feedback as we build out this vision for our early care and education sister around what their role is, very specifically the partners that they have in their communities to be able to identify where, you know, which children aren't being served, which they currently do, but also what additional supports do they need to make sure that those children are actually landing in the highest quality environments in their communities. How do we work better with hubs to identify the kinds of strategies and scale that will support providers and build a quality supply? And again, as we think about the workforce, we know, as I spoke to earlier with some of our challenges, we need to further scale and build on their access to post-secondary degree programs and job-embedded supports. And so these are these principles and a shared vision is something that we're going to be continuing to refine through the strategic planning process to get those feedback from our, get the feedback that we need from our stakeholders. That will help us understand what does the system of supports need to look like, what are the priorities with regard to programs and services and for which children, and then what are the really targeted specific strategies we need to do to support our workforce. This is a framework in which I think about how to organize and begin to build the vision and the strengthening of the early care and education sector. So taking, again, those big priorities that the council established, as well as thinking about the focus on the workforce and programs and services and the system capacity that we have. How are we really strategic and targeted as we think toward the 2019 session in particular and sequencing the right level of investments? I think I've shared before, no state has financed an early care and education system. We know that, you know, like here in Oregon, in many states. Parents are the largest, in most states, parents are still the largest payer into the system, and the public financing to support quality or to ensure equitable access isn't as robust as we need it to be. So what is the right approach and the right sequencing, and sort of how do we set priorities? So one, I would say, starting with building a quality supply, what will we be doing beginning in 2019 and going forward and working towards a really robust early care and education system to begin to think about what supports, what is going to help build a quality supply in community? So how are we addressing and what kinds of strategies will we look to increase the number of licensed programs in communities? We know facilities will be a challenge in some communities, and so what will we begin to do to lay the groundwork for more facilities for preschool and child care if our vision is to see more children be served? With respect to the workforce, we know that right now the higher education system needs a lot more support and capacity to be able to meet the needs of our current workforce, and so how can we be really targeted there in ensuring that not only that there are pathways, but there is the financing and funding to support early childhood educators in accessing post-secondary degree programs, that they're accessible in all parts of our state, really that those programs even exist in, you know, early childhood teacher preparation programs and all of our institutions of higher education. As we think about financing quality programs, as I mentioned, a new public investment could act very, I think, strategically in helping providers meet higher quality standards without increasing the cost that families will have to pay for that financing, and looking at the way we put dollars out in our state to support access to quality child care or preschool, and ensuring that there is the kind of we could do that in a way that ensures there is the resources to be able to compensate child care providers and our early learning educators adequately is another area that I would think about looking at very early, thinking about access and who's currently not being served in our state relative to our priority populations and their goal and our goals around equity, I think, is an important part of this work. And then finally, I think thinking about being able to have greater capacity to support continuous quality improvement. So we have, as you know, stood up a quality rating and improvement system with Race to the Top dollars. We resource child care resource and referral agencies and partners across our state to be able to provide professional development supports to our workforce. How are we strengthening and stabilizing those systems? So as we build supply, we finance strategically and differently to really align to a vision of quality and equitable access, as well as continue to have the kinds of supports and stability that we know that we need currently in the system to ensure that programs will be able to meet those higher standards and providers and be successful in that. So that is really, I think, they'll work ahead as we think about 2019. I've spent a lot of time really focused on the early care and education sector. Obviously, the early learning division and the hubs play a very important role in that, as does the council. But I want to assure the committee that going back to the vision of all of the ovals and all of the sectors, the Early Learning Council's strategic plan will really be focused on all of those sectors and the full early learning system. And we, as well, the Children's Cabinet that Governor Brown is convening, and what I've outlined today is really the way we'll be thinking about how to set priorities relative just to the early care and education sector that will be part of that plan. But I think one of the real interesting and exciting things about the Council's work is that they are really thinking about a cross-sector plan and the statutory charge that they have to really coordinate a full early learning system and all of those sectors around priorities for young children. So with that, I'll stop and forward to questions.
What questions, comments people have? Questions, comments? I have several. Go ahead.
Well, I'll just say it's a huge job.
Yeah.
It's a huge job. And I know that we've had prior conversations here about, making sure that the child safety ratios that you continue to aim to get closer to what is actually considered best science in terms of child ratio. I get when you're not talking just about that issue and you see everything else mm-hmm. up there, mm-hmm. that it's one of many things that you want to improve upon, and that's the purpose of your plan. And I don't know if that's going to come soon enough to form legislation. I'm sure you will have your ideas in the governor's budget, but I want to keep saying that I hope that you aim really high and give us the challenge here to reduce costs wherever needed and to increase resources as needed. But I think it's really important that you be bold in your requests for the child safety ratios, mm-hmm. which you took you did an incremental small step, but we all know it's not enough this time around, and in the other areas too. I hope that your budget is very bold and that you leave us with the challenge of trying to figure out how to fund that.
Chair Lively, Representative Kenny Geyer, we completely agree. That is very much on our radar. We're hoping and very hopeful again, and have had, I think, gotten a lot of really positive feedback around the budget request and the little bit of the dent that we're hoping to be able to make this session and that. We've also received some good news in terms of the possibility of additional federal funding that I think would help across a number of areas, both in terms of access to child care assistance, as well as our regulation and monitoring, and our support for providers through quality improvement activities. But we know even with that, we're still going to fall short of what the need is through the federal funding. So that continues to be on our radar. And actually, just today, we were talking about the statutory work group. So Chair Lively, Vice Chair Peluso, I hope we can continue to impose upon your time and your leadership. I think that will be, I think, it was a really, I think, important table to allow us to advance a number of areas that we'll be looking at relative to child safety to form the priorities for the 2019 session.
Okay. So I love the five-year time frame. I think often cases here we don't try to look out far enough because we know that things only happen in increments and they don't happen all at once. So that part I really appreciate looking at. So all this is good work and important to do, and I hope a lot of it proceeds before 2019. So one of my concerns is when we're doing all of this that we don't lose whatever momentum we have. Mm-hmm. So I'm concerned, especially in the field, in that where a lot of good work's going and I believe things are happening, that we're able to integrate and do all of this and ask these questions at the same time we keep moving forward, because mm-hmm. this doesn't mean that things are going to shift necessarily, but they may shift. Mm-hmm. So one of my concerns as we're doing this is just so we make sure we provide the support and enforcement to all of those working so hard in the field, that we want to recognize the momentum and keep that going in spite of where we might end up mm-hmm. in three mm-hmm. or 4 years. You talked about the quality standards. So some time ago, and I assume it's with the Race to the Top, there was a lot of effort around getting more of the centers qualified. Mm-hmm. So is that still an effort that we're working on? Because I know that not a lot of them are, but do we still spend quite a bit of time trying to help them achieve those standards?
Absolutely. Chair Lively, we are continuing to work, through the Spark system is still our vehicle right now to be able to provide a voluntary system for our providers to get supports aligned with a set of progressively higher standards. I'll let you know that we're currently in the process of looking at revisions to the Spark standards, so and getting feedback from stakeholders and providers around those standards. So we've been piloting Spark for a while, and there's been a number of other efforts underway to look at the kind of effectiveness of the current framework for quality. So that's really what we're in the process of looking at right now, as well as I think a really important area. I think it's often overlooked sometimes in these conversations in our field around quality rating and improvement systems is not so much focusing just solely on the standards themselves or even the rating. Well, the standards are important, but what supports we provide to really help those programs be successful and providers be successful in moving through that system. And so I think that's another area where we are going to be looking at and are getting feedback from providers. So not only is this the right kind of framework to help us provide a vision for improving quality, but also what supports will really be needed to help you realize and meet those kinds of standards and move along that continuum. I will say that one of the challenges right now is that a lot of that work to help do the outreach, to get providers to know and understand the Spark system, to give them the kinds of supports, the improvement supports, were Race to the Top funded. And so we've seen, I think in a year, a loss of, since Race to the Top funding ended for the Spark system, a loss of about 20 quality improvement specialists. So these are the people really in communities providing that kind of really critical, essential support and understanding the framework, helping providers put applications together, submit their portfolios, understand all of the different training and resources that are available to them. I think this is an area, as I was sharing earlier, where we look to 2019 and the right kinds of sequencing of investments. So we won't be able to finance or support or set the policy for our vision for our early care and education system overnight or even in one legislative session. It will be incremental progress, and I think we'll really have to look at the Spark system and how we continue to do that. We still have not the levels, I think, of participation and that we'd like to see.
Sure. And I have one more question, and maybe I've been asleep for a few months or something. I keep hearing about the children's cabinet, and to be honest, I don't understand how that intersects with what work we're doing here, or what the role actually plays. And I don't know whether you can answer that or somebody, Lindsay.
Sure. You want to take that, Lindsay?
See, I told you, Lindsay, that I might get you up here. So sorry.
Excuse me. Chair Lifley, members of the committee, for the record, Lindsay Capps, representing the governor today. It's a pleasure to be listening in on this conversation, which I see, as Director Calderon has talked about, as a collaboration with this committee and an ongoing collaboration and thinking about early learning in our state and how we expand high-quality early learning experiences for more of our children and the supports for our families. So appreciate your leadership in this work. Chair Lively, to your question around the governor's children's cabinet, as Miriam discussed today, there is a longer-term 5-year plan that the council, which is statutorily charged with really integrating an early learning system and developing a plan across agencies, they sort of have that task. Yeah. The children's cabinet is really an opportunity for a number of the agencies that the and sectors, quite frankly, that the Early Learning Council brings together, the chart that you saw earlier in the presentation, to really have a conversation about their respective early learning priorities. And to have the governor sitting there at the table leading that conversation in many respects. And so I think one is, as was discussed earlier, that feeds up into the Early Learning Council deliberations that has an opportunity to be shared out with this committee as that work proceeds. But I think it really is intended to try to forge that integration and alignment with those respective state agencies, Department of Human Services, OHA, Housing and Community Services, Oregon Department of Education, Chief Education Office, et cetera. So
very good.
That sufficiently answers your question.
No, that's great. That really
Thank
helps.
You.
Any other questions members have for the director or for, since Lindsay's up here, for Lindsay? Looks like you get off the hook. Thank you, Miriam, very much for that. We look forward, so as we have through legislative days and that, we'll look forward to just kind of getting a updates of where you're going, given that process, what you're trying to complete by, have a recommendation by November 18th that we'll just be kept abreast of that, so.
Absolutely, we'll look forward to that.
Sure, okay. Thanks
Thank
a
you.
Lot.
Mm-hmm.
So we have one more item on our informational meeting, that's an update on paid family leave work group. So as this committee knows, we spent quite a bit of time during the last session reviewing a proposal at that point for paid family and medical leave, and their bill didn't move. The proposal was then to go to a work group. The work group's been meeting since. We've been meeting weekly since that time, and our Representative Bonham sits on that. He's graciously agreed to sit on that work group. But the work group's been meeting, and I'm hoping soon we'll have a site that you can go to with others to be able to keep up with some of the work that we're doing, so you'll see as we're progressing along, because the goal remains to try to get some recommendations ready for the 2019 session. Of course, we don't know who will be on this committee or whether we'll have this committee or what any of that is, but the point of it is it's still our charge and our challenge while we're here to get to move this forward along with the Senate. So a couple, three things that I will say from the standpoint of the work group. One, the membership of the work group represents, I believe, all sides of this particular conversation. And so we tried to limit the number of people on the work group just for the conversations, but not to limit the fact that it covers all the ranges of people that should be at the table on this. Secondly, early on in the work group when we started having the conversations, we identified a wide range of questions that we felt needed to be talked about and answered regarding this particular measure. And so we've really been working through those conversations about trying to answer some of those questions. At the same time, learning about other states that have programs similar or moving towards programs or similar and what's available in the private sector. What we know at this point is this is a pretty major undertaking for any state, certainly for our state, for several different reasons. One, just the infrastructure. If the state's going to do the program, the infrastructure of the state would need to support the program. And we've had a lot of conversations with the different departments that would be impacted, getting some sense of the scope and how long it would take. I think when we started this conversation in our committee, while we got some good information from DCBS, some estimates about some of the costs in that, we didn't have a good sense the ramp up and what it might take to support this. And now we're getting a lot of that kind of information, which will be helpful as we have more conversations. Again, like I say, we're also looking at what other states are doing, what products are already out there that could be modified or potentially provided. So a wide range of things. I think it'll all be helpful, and so my intent would be during legislative days going forward, we'll get opportunities this committee to talk about where there's at. Different people can come in and provide conversations about what we're learning at that point. So when we get to fall, closer to that time, you'll have a good background in where all that's at and what we might be able to do. Representative Bonham, you're new to it, but what do you...
Yeah, no, I... Well, one, thank you, Chair Lively, for even bringing the topic up. Being new to this process altogether, you know, to the legislative period, a lot of these work groups and task force I hear about, I wonder if they're ever really doing anything, if they're in some secret room. So bringing it to the forefront, letting people know that we are meeting. It is a broad group of people that I think does reflect the full spectrum of opinions on the topic. And, you know, I know it's a topic that's been worked on, but it still feels like, well, the first meeting felt like it might have walked in the wrong meeting. The first meeting felt like an implementation meeting to me. But after that, you know, I've seen where we're going and why we're going the way we're going. It's still, for me, it's still early in that process, and it is a complex issue. I didn't quite realize how complex, but when you get into rolling that out and what it looks like administratively, it's a big issue. So outside of just the ins and outs of the individual points of contention, I guess I'll say it is a big broad topic. So again, thank you for just bringing it up and keeping it at the forefront of this group.
And I did provide to you members a written copy that's also on OLIS of some information we got from some of the organizations urging us to consider certain principles. And I can assure you those are all things, if you look at the list of things we started with, they're all in there somewhere. And some of them we're chipping away at getting more, quote, answers and definition of what those are. Others will take a little bit longer. Yeah. But all of that, from my standpoint, is helpful as we have these conversations to focus on it, because at the... Depending on how we structure the program, and especially if it's a state-run program, and it involves taxes, then it takes 3/5 votes in order to implement the program. And so that's part of what we're going to keep having these conversations to try to find that common ground, that if that's the point we reach, we can ensure we can move forward to implement the program. But if you have questions along, but hopefully soon we'll have the website information where you can just go look and keep up on the conversations of the work group and that we're doing it. And then I would, like I say, as we come back for legislative days, we'll keep ongoing conversations, keep you informed of what's that and see at the appropriate time. We talked about a joint hearing earlier in this this session. We never got to that point to be able to do that. But that might be what we would do in the future during legislative days, is a joint hearing with our Senate colleagues, just so we kind of hear it all at the same time as we move forward. So,
that'd be good.
Any questions, comments people have? You're just dying to join another work group, or?
I am. I do like the work groups, actually.
Some of them are.
Give me two or three.
Okay.
Fine.
We have another volunteer. Anything else that members that needs to come before? If not, this is going to be our last meeting of the short session, and then we'll be back here during legislative. I believe in May will be our next time, unless you hear from us before then. Anything else for the good of the order? Okay, thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
For your work this session, and we'll adjourn.